Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I learned one thing since I've been here. You gotta fight for your right to party!
It is a day of celebration. Of the AFC.
We are the champions.
Of the AFC. I don't want to jinx the team, man.
We are the champions.
Dude, suspicions are weird. So my brother was in town over the weekend, and his son had an indoor soccer tournament, so they came up from Wichita. And something's up, man. I think traffic is up. Inside baseball here, guys. Anyway, so he was over at my mom's. Watching the game before he headed back home. And I was just exhausted from our night at the Intercontinental and everything.
So I mean, getting to bed at 10 instead of 9.
Well, no, we got to bed at midnight, Dana. Stop. Don't make fun of the old guy.
I'm not. I'm just saying next time, maybe you go to First Cafeteria and clear out at 4.
Maybe grab pie at Perkins.
I don't know if we'll have time.
I don't know if we're going to have time. I don't know. So maybe we won't grab the pie. Anyway... So
phrasing.
Okay. So anyway, I just decided to hunker down over at Kelly's, and I called my brother like midway through the fourth. And superstitions are a weird thing. And we were just talking. I said, you know, oh my God, I said, I can't believe it. You know, I never thought this day would come. In all the years that we've lived in Kansas City for 33 years now. Right. And of course they had never made the Super Bowl in those 33 years. And my brother goes, the only thing he said was, shut up.
Yeah. Don't talk about it.
He goes, you're jinxing the team.
Yeah.
I go, I'm not jinxing the team. They're going to win. He goes, shut up. Yeah. Next thing you know, touchdown. I was like, oh, God dang, I jinxed the team. Superstitions are weird.
Yeah. I actually
for a second started thinking, like, I have this power. I jinxed the team.
Right.
But we got the same food yesterday. That we had last Sunday.
I wore the same shirt.
I sat on the same part of the couch where I sat last week.
Yep.
Kelly sat on the same part of the couch she did. We honest to God, not yesterday, but last week when they were playing the Texans, her son went upstairs to take a shower at the end of the first quarter. When he came back down, the Chiefs were scoring point after point after point. I'm not kidding you. When yesterday, at the end of the first quarter... We told her son to go upstairs and take a shower.
I'm going to need you to stop what you're doing and go shower right now.
Right now.
Right.
It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
But I showered this morning.
Yeah, but we need you to take another one.
So we started the game at a bar because I was starving. So I met a couple of girlfriends for that. And then I was going to go over to a friend's house during the second half. Then we get this email. It's an embargoed email. It says embargoed means you can't share it with anyone until after the game.
Until the time listed at the top.
Yeah, so
anytime
you get an embargoed anything in your inbox as a media person, that's always interesting. Like, what are you embargoing? And it said, you know, you cannot talk about this until after the game, but should the Chiefs win, we are planning a coordinated fireworks show around five different spots around the city. And the fireworks are going to go off at the exact same time should the Chiefs win after the game. And it talked a little bit about, you know, logistics and where camera crews could go. Union Station was going to be one of them. Power and Light was going to be one of them.
The Plaza
was going to be one of them. So after we scored again in the fourth quarter, One of my girlfriends said, no way, I'm not moving. It'll jinx it. My other two girlfriends and I decided, why don't we get in the car and drive to the plaza? I want to see the fireworks. And we did. I mean,
you went to the plaza.
We did. And we were actually in the car when the Chiefs won. And we were so excited. But I thought, you know, let's go down and join in the celebration. I'm too old for power and light, but let's go to the plaza and we'll watch the fireworks. And it was very cool. The fireworks went off at the same time.
Were there a lot of people?
I feel like because it was embargoed, people didn't really know it was going to be happening. Mm. And it was on the far east end of the plaza.
Over by J.C. Nichols Fountain.
Yes, and they did go off a little early, so it was really light out when they all went off. But one of the things I loved watching the coverage later is that Johnny Rollins was up in the sky. Mm. Rollins was up in the sky and was able to show the coordinated fireworks at all of the spots at the same time around the city, which was really, really neat. Hmm. Really neat.
Nothing looks better than fireworks when the sun is still up.
Well, it was very celebratory. It was just, I think, a little early because it was a little bit harder to see. But you could see them and hear them. And, you know, speaking of being old, I think I was in bed sound asleep by 8 o'clock because.
Why are you so tired today? What's going on with you?
I'm just tired.
What's going on?
And my voice and screaming and then I didn't sleep well. And then Chris came home and wanted to watch the coverage again.
And he wanted to cry. And
then listen to this at 3:30 a.m. I look over and I can hear him because when he's on his phone, this is what he does.
Oh, he's a loud tapper.
He's a loud phone finger tapper. Mm-mm. And I could see the light of the phone. And I'm like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. He was on Twitter talking about the game. And I tweeted, thanks.
At 3:30 in the morning?
Thanks a lot, Patrick Mahomes. This ding-dong at 3:30 in the morning is back up, reliving the glory moments. And now I can't sleep.
Wow.
Look at his Twitter feed today. Look at the timeline. It never stops.
Somebody says, speaking of, I don't think superstition is the right word here, but anyway, I'll use your word, friend, from 4611. Speaking of superstition, think about this one. If Andy Reid wins the Super Bowl, it will be his 222nd career win, his second Super Bowl title, and it will occur on 2-2-2020.
No way.
It's his first Super Bowl.
No, it's his second Super Bowl. It would be his first Super Bowl win.
Oh, okay. Well,
Andy Reid, 222nd game, right?
No, win.
Win and Super Bowl. Let me look it up.
There's no way it would be his 222nd career win. It would have to be his 222nd career game. That's a lot of wins.
I'll look it up because, you know, they break down every single weird number that you could ever, ever want to know.
You think they do? What do you think Vegas does?
His bio on Chiefs.com, which hasn't been updated since yesterday, says 196 total wins. So there's a very good possibility that it's 222.
Wow.
Huh, okay. Damn. He's been coaching a lot longer than I thought.
Okay. Hey, and by the way,
he has 221 wins right now.
Oh, no way!
He does have 221 wins?
Yeah, including yesterday. He's at 221.
I stand corrected.
If you missed Friday's show, we had fake Andy Reid in here. Almost Andy Reid.
He was awesome.
He looks exactly like the coach.
Yes.
And he sings opera, and it is up on podcast if you missed it. He is so funny. He is so entertaining. And he's got the coach's cadence down. Time's yours. He looks like him. He sounds like him. And Sam, you put that up on podcast Friday.
I did.
So just go to all of your podcast apps, wherever you find us, and scroll back 2 hours, and it should be there from Friday.
Somebody writes in, there is no such thing as a superstition. Well, then tell me why I sat on the same cushion I sat last week, ate the same food that I ate last week. We sent Kelly's son for a shower at the same time we sent him last week, and the Chiefs won. Tell me that.
All right.
Tell me that.
I have on you, Scott.
I have the five biggest superstitions of NFL fans, and I'll give them to you when we come back.
576-7798. Rebecca Crockett, Sam Stevie the third, Dana Wright. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ. By the way, before we get to the top five superstitions of NFL fans, and I'm sure we all have some of them, we were talking about this yesterday during the game. Eric Fisher, for that Stone Cold Steve Austin stunt that he pulled last week, has been fined $14,037.
Yeah, you can't use props.
By the NFL, because you're not allowed to use props mm-hmm. in a touchdown mm-hmm. celebration. Mm-hmm. By the way, Anheuser-Busch, to their credit, said, let us know the charity of your choice, Mr. Fisher.
They got him a check.
$14,037.
They got him a check.
I love it.
Because you cannot pay for that kind of advertising.
I'm sure, yeah, they got a lot more advertisement money out of that, or what would have cost a lot of advertisement money, a lot more than $14K.
They cut him a check to the charity of his choice, which is my favorite thing of all time.
Isn't that great?
It's just fantastic.
All right, what are the five superstitions?
Okay, so you say, texter, that there's no such thing as a superstition, but Scott says he sat in the exact same spot yesterday.
Ate the same food. We sent her son up for the shower at the same time.
You're going to love this. All right, here we go. The five biggest superstitions of NFL fans by BleacherReport.com. It says NFL fans are an intense bunch. Of course, when your team only plays 16 games a year, everyone seems like a must win. So let's talk about the superstitions. Number one of five, Scott, staying in the same spot.
I got one.
Have you ever been sitting in the same spot the whole game and then you finally get over? And you get up and the team turns the ball over, that's cause and effect.
Never switch my seat once.
So if things are going well, you're not going anywhere. And that was my girlfriend yesterday. She said, I'm not leaving. They're winning. If I leave, it's going to screw up the mojo.
That's right. Because we have that much power.
Mm-hmm.
Number two of five, the lucky outfit. Of course, everybody has something they wear.
I didn't wear the same shirt, but I did wear the same Adidas lounge jacket.
Got it.
You wear that every day.
Which is what you wear every day.
No, I have five now.
Number three, the perfect meal. Some NFL fans need to have just the right tailgate food before a game. Maybe it's a bowl of Lucky cereal. Maybe it's 17 wings because the last time you ate exactly 17 wings, they won the Super Bowl.
We did that yesterday. Had the same meal we had the weekend before.
Number four of five, pump up music. And make no mistake, Kansas City, mm-hmm. we now have one song and one song alone that is the pump up music for this game.
You got to fight for your right to party?
I mean,
is there any other?
You could say it's going to Miami, but I think Kelsey has just changed the pump up music for everyone listening.
I learned one thing since I've been here. You got to fight for your right.
You gotta fight. And five out of five, you want to guess number five?
We've already done same clothes, mm-hmm. same food, same spot, same song. I'm drawing a blank on this one.
Even non-sports fans have a rabbit's foot that they rub for good luck. Sports fans take it one step further. It might be your favorite football card. It might be that signed picture from your favorite athlete. No matter what it is, as long as you have it when the game starts, everything's going to be okay. I covered KU once and went down for the Final Four in New Orleans. I think it was New Orleans. And ran into a fan. We actually made a story out of it. Who had carried the same French fry from Johnny's for 6 months prior. And had it with him in New Orleans. Was drunk as a skunk. I was like, this is my French fry. They haven't lost since I've been carrying my French fry. And for the record, we did lose in that game that year.
Okay. From 0838, I cannot wait for the Super Bowl to be over with. I have not washed my underwear in months.
Oh, gross! Come on!
Mm-hmm. From 0589... Scott also wore the same underwear, too. Oh, wait, never mind. That's not funny. That's mean.
Why does that mean?
I don't wear underwear.
Well, that was the joke.
I know. They're making fun of the fact that I don't wear underpants.
Listeners with material.
What are you going to do for the Super Bowl?
I am going to sit on the same seat.
Ah, here we go.
We are going to eat. What we ate was we got that cheap little sushi from Price Chopper. Yeah. You know, the California.
Yeah.
Hey, shut up.
In the little deli section, little California roll.
Yeah. Little California roll.
Yeah.
And 7-layer dip with some chips and veggies.
Okay.
So I imagine we're probably going to do the same thing in 2 weeks.
Okay. You better believe. Poor kid take a shower.
I was just going to say.
And we're going to make her son go take a shower.
He's going to regret having to take a shower.
He'll miss all the commercials.
I don't care what he regrets. I want to win the damn game.
It's for the team.
Go soap off.
Maybe you could set up a TV in the bathroom for him.
Go soap off, young man. It's for the city.
I'll post that list on our social media platforms because I find it funny. We did text our boss, Rebecca.
Yeah.
With a photo because I'm wearing a Chiefs vest and Scott's wearing a Chiefs shirt. Mm-hmm. And we sent newer boss a photo and said, you know, we don't really want to, but if you insist and you need us to go cover this game in Miami, mm-hmm. I suppose we would be willing to make that sacrifice for you.
The whole show, that would probably be the best idea.
Well, I mean, I think it would have to be all four of us.
Uh-huh. Absolutely, yeah.
He said he didn't need us to go.
Can you send it again? I know. Maybe the response will be
like
different.
I feel like maybe he hasn't had time to really think about it.
We just need to wear him down.
I agree.
Just keep sending it over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Wait, Rebecca, you and Sam now need to take a photo and send it to him and say, hey, it's my understanding you did not want Scott and Dana and their services, but Rebecca and Sam are willing and able to cover this for you.
No, we'll do some right live reports.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you what, Sam. I know that you think that sounds like it would be so much fun.
It's awful.
It is so much work. It is work.
The only benefit of going down to Miami would actually just be the weather.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be warmer.
Yes, and it would be fun, but it's fun work.
Yeah, it's fun work.
You should have to experience that at least
once. I know.
I did the Final Four in Atlanta in 2002 when the Jayhawks were down there. And
it's morning, noon, and night.
And I thought, man, this is going to be great. You know, I'm going to go cover the Final Four. And I'm going to see my buddies who live down here in Atlanta and everything.
Oh, yeah.
I never saw my buddies, and I never stopped working. It sucked.
But you were wearing shorts.
But I was wearing shorts in March. That's right.
Keep on walking that road, and I'll follow. Keep on calling my name, I'll be there. And if a mirror should break, it's easy to take. Deep down I know that you care. Well, I'm not superstitious. No.
All right. Can't talk about the Chiefs all day, even though I'd like to.
I'm not superstitious.
I saw this story on CNN.com. Nicolia Shanks was browsing the aisles of an antique store in Cortez, Colorado last week when she noticed several signs that kind of took her aback. Keep in mind, this is an antique store, okay? So presumably they only sell old stuff, like me. One sign read, public swimming pool, whites only. Another read, colored seated in rear. A third read, we serve colored carry out only. Here are the signs, okay? These were obviously years and years ago posted on doors of businesses throughout the country.
And my guess is would either A, be worth something, or B, those belong in a museum.
Shanks, who is a stay-at-home mom who does have an African-American daughter, she's white, was angered by the Jim Crow-era racist signs, according to CNN. Quote, I think it was disbelief at first that I was actually seeing these signs in a store. It's something I would expect to see at a Jim Crow museum, not in a local antique store. The store's owner, though, Cheryl Dean, refused to remove the signs from store shelves. That anger pushed Shanks to confront a store employee about the signs, and days later she returned to speak to Cheryl Dean, the owner, who refused to back down over the course of a 15-minute conversation. Dean, the owner of the store, did not respond to CNN's request for comments, but did say in a note that the signs were not racist in nature. Well, they are obviously racist in nature, but they are, I would make the argument, also historical.
I would argue historically significant, and I am surprised they aren't in a museum, but I don't find them to be racist on their face. I think what the shopkeeper needed to do was, under the signs for sale, say, you know, we do not condone this. These signs came from blank. Tell a little bit about the history. And it is an important reminder of what the United States looked like not that long ago. And that's why these are here. This is how they came to be here. But I don't think just having those in an antique store is racist.
I don't think so either.
I would almost want to buy those and call like the Topeka versus Brown Board of Education Museum in Topeka and say, can you display these?
It's always bothered me when people get all upset when other people are selling old stuff. For example, it was not that long ago, there was a guy, and I believe it was here in Kansas City, who was selling some old World War II memorabilia that he had found in his dad's old Foot Locker.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his dad had served in World War II. And in there was an old, you know, German helmet from World War II. There was a Nazi flag that was in there. And he had no need for it and didn't want it or whatever. And so he was selling it. And it was in a yard sale sort of format. You remember, this was like 3 or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And people were losing their GD minds over this thing. Like, how dare you?
But again, you have to look at the context.
Some people collect this stuff for historical purposes. Nobody's buying the Nazi flag so they can fly it outside their front porch.
No.
Unless they want their house burned down. But what's wrong with buying these older things? I used to collect when I was a little kid, and I still have them. To this day, I still have them in a little old school box in my laundry room in the cabinet. And it's old World War II. Now, these are American primarily, but old World War II. Army and Air Force, Air Force didn't exist back then, but old Army and Navy patches, you know, like sergeant's tabs and division insignias, et cetera, et cetera. I also have in a little jar about this big a bunch of coins from Europe, including some from Eastern Europe. It doesn't make me a socialist or a communist.
But do you feel like you have to explain the historic significance to those things if someone were to see them? Like, the first time Kelly saw them, were you like, oh, you know, I have these. I'm interested in history. And
I just thought when I was in East Germany one time, I thought, you know what? I'm probably not coming back. I like to collect coins. I did at the time. I don't anymore. But I like to collect coins. I might want to take one of these just for keepsake. And you know, I still have it to this day.
With respect to these antique stores, I've never seen a coloreds only sign in an antique store. If I had seen that, and I'm being absolutely serious, Scott, if I had been in that store and I saw those signs, I would buy them. I would probably write about it because I think it's important to remember that this wasn't that long ago. I would show the kids, and then I would call a museum and say, I found this in an antique store. Would you like to display these? Because it does belong in a museum.
I can understand if somebody were to say those are racist in nature. Well, they may be. But if you put them into the context of the time when they were displayed, and some people are writing and saying these are replicas, I don't know that for a fact. And the story doesn't say that. Okay? Regardless, whether they are or not, they are. I mean, do you think everybody who buys a Nazi flag because they're really into World War II history is doing a carbon data search
no, but I
to
would
find
not,
out if it was from 1942?
But I would not buy a Nazi flag. I would never buy, ever buy, even, and I understand what you're saying.
I would buy a Nazi helmet because I love World War II history.
I understand
history.
What you're saying, but I would not want anything that evil or that represented that evil anywhere around me. And not that this isn't evil, but I feel like if I went up to buy a Nazi flag, I would have to be like, and I'm also, I have lots of Jewish friends, and this is why I'm doing, like, I feel like I would be tripping over myself let everyone know this is why I'm doing this. Whereas with these signs, I would go straight to a museum and say, can you display these?
Why wouldn't you just turn over the Nazi flag then to a museum of World War II history?
I don't know. I don't know.
Further down in the stories, it shows the display of where these signs were, and they're leaning up against a bookshelf with a bunch of mammy dolls on it. Do you think that plays into the anger about what they said and the fact that it was a racist caricature doll that they were sitting in front of?
Maybe. But I've seen those in antique stores. I've seen those dolls in antique stores.
I just think America has a collective panty in their butt. And I don't find these things, maybe it's because I'm just a white guy. I get it. I'm not Jewish. I'm not black. So maybe that would be the argument for, well, of course you don't find it offensive, Scott. You weren't, you know, prejudiced against. That's a fair argument. And I can respect that argument. But I also have an affinity for history, and in particular, World War II history. I would have, if I was in an antique store and there was an authentic Nazi Germany helmet within reason on the price, I would buy it.
Let me ask you this. Is it because this is mixed in with commerce and so, you know, somehow a store is profiting off this painful history in America? Is it because there's profit involved? Whereas if it's in a museum, you know, you can look at these signs and think, oh my God, but it's separated out from someone trying to make a buck.
576-7798. Rebecca Crockett, Sam Stevie the Third, Dana Wright. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ. Telephone number here is 576-7798. Your artist of the day today is Travis Kelce. You will hear him at the top of every hour because he's awesome. James in Belton. Hello, James.
Hey, how you guys doing today, man?
Doing well, thank you.
Hey, so my first order of business, man, you guys have given me a lot of, I call in a lot, man. You guys always give me some time to talk some trash when it comes to football, man. I just want to say congratulations to all the real Chief fans. You guys deserve it, man. It's a humble day for me, man. I was crying all night. Really can't stand them. But, hey, congratulations to you guys.
Well, man. James, I know because you call in from time to time. You're a Raiders fan, correct?
That is correct.
Well, I remember you, and I think everyone listening appreciates your genuine congratulations. I really do mean that.
Hey, it's all good, man. Hey, so real quick, man, when the Raiders went to the Super Bowl in 2003, I was in boot camp. Couldn't even watch it, man. It's horrible, man. My life is rough, man.
Don't worry. They didn't win.
Yeah, that's it, my man. That's a burn. That's a burn. So the reason – I'm going to change the subject, man. The reason I'm calling, right – the reason I'm calling is what you guys were previously talking about. So those signs in the store, Dana, I was, you know, Dana, I got a lot of love for you, man. I mean, as a fan and everything, for real, I do. You know, and I don't think you're like a bad person, but I just want to point something out that you said before the last break was if you, like, you wouldn't have even wanted to buy a Nazi flag to put it to a museum because you just don't want to be associated with that kind of evil. And you also said, you know, maybe it's because you have a lot of Jewish friends, know a lot of Jewish people. So what I wanted to kind of point out is, like, you know, maybe the people who know a lot of black people and have a lot of black family and friends, maybe they feel the same way that you feel about, like, anti-Jewish stuff. Maybe they feel the same way about anti-black stuff. You understand what I'm saying?
I absolutely understand what you're saying. And James, I've always wondered in these antique stores, they sell those, you know, the little ceramic dolls, and they sell, and they are racist caricatures.
You're talking about mammy dolls?
Yeah, the mammy dolls. And then also, you know, you would see the little boy pulling a wagon in blackface. I have seen that stuff at antique stores and often wondered, who buys that and why? But I don't find those things to have the historic significance as a sign from the Jim Crow law days. I wouldn't expect to see maybe a mammy something in a museum the way I would expect to see that sign.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, man, and it's unfortunate. And if the sign's really, like, if it was me in the store, it really wouldn't bother me. It's like they have the right to try to sell whatever they want to sell, but I'm just pointing out that, like, you know, a sign that says, you know, stuff like that, like, I don't understand what, like, if you would buy that and want to give it to the museum, why wouldn't you buy a Nazi flag? And that's kind of like, it just kind of befuddles me a little bit. You see what I'm saying?
To me,
they're both the same. To me, it's both the same. You know?
I absolutely see what you're saying, James.
And I would, if there was an authentic, now there is an argument being made on the text line that these signs are replicas. Okay, fine. If there was what I could be convinced was an authentic Nazi flag in some antique store or some World War II hardware store, if you will, whatever, I would buy it. Obviously, I would not fly it. I would not hang it in my home. I would probably put it in a box, but I would buy it for no other reason than historical purposes, because I am fascinated with World War II history, and I would pretty much, other than like a dead body, buy anything from World War II.
There is a Jim Crow Museum of Racist Memorabilia. I'm going to read that again.
I'm not surprised.
The Jim Crow Museum of Racist Memorabilia, and the tagline is using objects of intolerance to teach tolerance and promote social justice.
Where's it located? Does it say?
It is on the campus of Ferris State University. Where is Ferris State? Is that California, I want to say? Stand by. Michigan. Michigan.
Okay.
We have a good point on the text line about why those two things would be different. It's because the Nazi flag is something that was used to show pride for Nazism and what they were backing. These signs were not used to show pride for racism. They were used by racists to instill racism. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think you're kind of splitting a hair there. But
just an interesting point.
But
I
get where you're going. I mean, yeah, maybe. And I'm not going to get into the business, especially on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I'm not going to get into the business of what was worse.
Oh, no.
You know, the KKK and lynchings and Jim Crow laws versus Nazism. I'm not getting into that today. No way. Not today.
Well, that's not the point I was making.
But it was the point that the previous caller was trying to make.
From the Jim Crow Museum website, it says the battle continues today as racial images and items are produced daily. Objects with racial themes are created, produced, and sold weekly in the United States. And I go back again to this proprietor of this store who, and she's quoted as saying she's had these in her store on and off for the last 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
She has never received a complaint about them until now. She says, it's not like I go and hunt these signs down. One person in 15 years complains and it goes viral. She doesn't understand why the signs would be considered controversial. She says it's part of history. If you ignore history, you repeat it. Since the Facebook post about the signs, the shop owner has had threats to burn down her shop and has been labeled a racist.
Hmm.
She says she sold out of the signs earlier this week due to all of the publicity and does not plan to purchase any more for her store.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.